Jason Kantz, good morning.
Good morning.
Best 5 minutes of the day.
Yes.
Good to talk to you.
As always.
Good to have you and your wife, Heather, back at the breakfast table on Saturday at Randy's.
Yeah, it was good to be there. Just kind of catching up and so forth.
Well, we had a good conversation. The thought on my mind was, and I'm just going to go ahead, and I'm like, wow, that was better than church. It was really, yeah. It's kind of like, it was really great. It was as iron sharpens iron, so one sharpens another. I mean, it was just great fellowship.
Yeah, I mean, and I think that's exactly right. It's the fellowship idea. It's being able to engage and interact with one another. You know, not just being a receptacle, but really talking through, being passionate about mm-hmm. things. And yeah, I agree. It was a great breakfast.
So I had a physical on last week. I don't know if I talked about that here or
no.
not. I forget. But one of the things that kind of came home from the doctor's, like, he's like, you don't want to eat bread. He's like, that's just not going to help your weight thing. And,
sure.
and I topped in about like 190, 191 with clothes on. And so I'd like to drop that.
Sure.
180 would be nice. I liked it at 180. So kind of with it working. But then, you know, and he acknowledged, like, bread tastes so good. And then you go bread and then you're talking toast and you're talking muffins and scones. And there's so many different. And then all of a sudden it extends into like the pasta. But congratulations to you. Wow, you've been dropping the pounds.
Yeah. I think I'm down over 70 at this point, so.
That's great.
I did eat a breadstick last night. So
okay.
I think that's the first time I've had bread in a couple of months, I think, so. I couldn't eat the whole thing, but.
What's it like to have a smaller appetite after you had a bigger appetite the bulk of your life?
Yeah, I've had a massive appetite my entire life, and it's very surreal, I would say, to have a small appetite and not be able to eat. Like when we were at breakfast on Saturday, I ate about 3/4 of an egg and one sausage link, and I was full. And it's just so odd. I mean, still, getting to that point and thinking, I really can't eat anymore. So it's just weird to experience that.
And I just, again, I've talked about this on the relationship. It's like the looking to food for comfort is just such a, I'll have my breakfast and I'll want to eat more because I don't know. I mean, am I really hungry? I just want like some more comfort.
Right. Yeah. That sense of fullness.
Yeah.
The sense that comes with it. And man, cookies taste good. So, I mean, that's a factor as well.
I still don't know what to do with when people offer you free sugar. You know, it's like, would you like this chocolate-covered donut? I mean, I said yes on Saturday because I'm like, well, sure,
because
I would,
of course,
I guess.
I would like it, yes.
I know. But then there was another guy across the table who said no, and I'm like, man, all right, I'd like to be like him, so whatever.
Yeah.
It offers you something in the moment, I guess, right? So.
It does. It does. Plus, I think we have a lot of social connection over food.
Yeah.
And so that. Growing up around my grandmother's Sunday table after church, mm-hmm. there was just cookies and bars everywhere.
I know.
And so you just always ate them.
Yeah, that's true. All right. Yeah, turning to it's what the doctor's saying. He's like, hey, whole fruits and vegetables and all those other things. And I'm hearing a lot of good things about nuts, too, you know?
Right. Yeah, I had. So one of the things before going into surgery, somebody said protein and produce. And I was like, that's a good thought.
That is good. All right, boy, healthy tips here on what's typically a mental health Monday. But, hey, eating right, you're going to think better probably. We got Matthew 5, that's actually Acts, what am I saying? Acts 5:32, just one verse today.
And that says, we are witnesses of these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, who is given by God to those who obey him.
And in your devotional commentary, Letters to the Beloved, you say, Peter finished by saying, we are witnesses to all of these things, as is the Holy Spirit, who goes with all those who follow him. Beloved, you are a witness as well, a representative of my kingdom and an ambassador of my son. Like them, the Holy Spirit is with you to lead and guide you. We need that.
We do. You know, thinking about even the world in which we're living right now, how do we show up in ways that represent the kingdom well?
Mm-hmm.
I do that well sometimes, and sometimes I don't. And I really want to be someone who is manifesting the fruit of the Spirit in my daily life.
Let me close with this, because, as you post on social media, because I've seen people who I know name the name of the Lord, but posting things politically related, 85 days till the election now, that I'm like, you know, I want to encourage people, ask yourself, WWJP, what would Jesus post? And ask yourself, is that really a Christ-like thing you're about ready to share with all of your Facebook friends?
So. Absolutely.
Thank you, friend.
You bet.
There we go. Solving the problems of the world 5 minutes at a time here. Best 5 minutes of the day, WWIB.
Good morning. This is Cody Ender. I just listened to the best 5 minutes of the day. Helvo had invited listeners to call and share their thoughts of the best 5 minutes. And definitely, I'm a component of that. I want to be exemplary of God's kingdom. And like Jason said, loving with the fruits of the Spirit. And as I am on my way to work right now at Ashley Furniture in Chippewa, that it's my desire to love those around me with the fruits of the Spirit. And by doing so, hoping that they will see and know that they too are invited at the table, that they are invited to the table to enjoy dining with Jesus. So yeah, that's just my desire at work and at home, that the love by the fruits of the Spirit, and to show that those who I love by the fruits of the Spirit are too invited at the table of Jesus. Thank you.
Hi, Drew.
Hey, what's up, Mark?
It feels like forever since I think we did have a couple weeks where we didn't talk. And then we didn't talk last week because the backpack to school challenge, we kind of pushed you aside for that. So
yeah, what? You pushed me aside to raise money for kids?
Yeah.
Come on now.
I know. Hey, I want to talk to you because you're a pastor and a stand-up comic. You have a great sense of humor. And so I wanted to just see, like, you know, some churches are really known, truthfully. I mean, can we be honest here? That's the great thing about comedy, right? People say the things that everybody's thinking, but they're afraid to say. So, like, some churches are real Republican, and other churches are maybe more liberal. And then I think the challenge is if you can actually have a church that's full of people on both, because your mind is set on a higher ordeal. But how do you guys handle what is your church there outside of in Ferndale, Michigan? What's it like?
Yeah, so our church, it's a good question, you know, like, and it's interesting too. So our church is pretty mixed, actually.
Uh-huh.
We don't spend a lot of time talking about politics at our church, but I know from pastoring people, there's probably an equal amount of Republicans as there are Democrats, and you know, a lot of people that maybe don't identify with either.
Yeah.
So, you know, we've focused a lot on talking about unity this year, and especially last year as well, and just talking about as a mature person, it's okay to disagree. You know, I think that there's this idea that we all have to think the same thing, we all have to agree on all this stuff, and it's kind of fed by the Facebook culture where it's like, if I don't agree with you, then I just unfriend you and we sort of move on, you know? And we're actually trying to move people towards, hey, conflict is a really normal, actually important part of being in a church. You know, why you're in church is to get into conflict with people and then learn how to work it out. That's the whole point of church, is to disagree, fight, and have, you know, we call in counseling rupture and repair.
Wow. So that's interesting. I mean, I find a lot of times, I mean, no, on the one hand, you might think, hey, we're just not going to talk about that and let's set our mind. I've been kind of claiming Colossians 3:1-2, where it says, set your mind on things above, not on things below, that we got higher, nobler things to think about than politics.
Yeah.
On the other hand, you're saying, let's, you know, not necessarily put on the boxing gloves, but let's kind of.
No.
But I mean.
Yeah, I mean, like we do the emotionally healthy spirituality course.
That's great.
Part of that is just, you know, like,
we
need to talk about it.
Yeah.
We don't need to, like, antagonize each other.
Yeah.
But also, like, a healthy church or a healthy marriage or a healthy family.
Yeah.
Is able to get into a fight or disagree and then come back together. That's a normal part. You know, conflict is an important opportunity for growth for people.
It is.
So we don't try to shy away from it. Yeah.
Having said that, I mean, I find overwhelmingly in Christendom, it seems like we're very conflict averse. And so.
Yeah.
I mean, in terms
like
of
we
they
don't
say
wanna, it's. We want to be nice, you know, or we're like, we don't want to be mean. But it's like, well, you're not being mean. It's just, you know, conflict is a normal part of human existence.
All right,
it's
so
like,
let me just
how
ask,
do you respond to that?
In your marriage, I mean, we know you as this light-hearted, jovial, fun, creative, imaginative guy who spent 12 years in China. But, like, between you and your wife, because it's usually, like, what is it? It's flight, fight, freeze or foe are kind of the different reactions to conflict. So what's yours? What's your wife's?
Yeah, I mean, like, mine is fight, you know.
Uh-huh.
Hers is maybe, I don't know about flight, but just to kind of be like, oh, it's not a big deal. Let's move on.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, no, we need to talk about it. There's a really interesting book by this psychologist, Sue Johnson. It's called Hold Me Tight. Huh. And it talks about, like, the different patterns of conflict, but it could easily apply to a church as well.
Okay.
So if people want to look that up, she's not a Christian, but it's pretty neutral, I would say. Like, it's just psychology. So anyways, that's a few thoughts.
Another book called Crucial Conversations. Have you heard of that before?
Yes. Yeah, that's a great book.
That's a really good one, too.
So that's what we need to have, you know, just don't avoid it, but let's talk about it.
Totally non-humor related today. So.
Yeah. No laughs. Zero laughs.
All right. Thanks, Drew. Appreciate it. DrewFralick.com, our guest this morning. All right. I looked it up. Hold Me Tight. 7 Conversations for a Lifetime of Love. All right. Thanks for the book recommendation. All right. The weekend recap here on WWIB, the WIB Wake Up Show. Do you want to go first?
Sure.
All right.
I can. No, I had a really good weekend. I don't know if you were around for it last week, but we had Talon McKinley in here. I think she did an interview with Greg. I think it was on Wednesday or so. She's the director and founder of First Position Dance Company. It's an awesome ministry. And so they did their show at Calvary, Calvary Baptist on west side of Eau Claire. That's where I go to church. And just recently started learning how to run the light board on Sundays, just to kind of help out. And so I was approached and asked if I could help run one of Talon's shows this weekend. And it was awesome. Learned a lot. It was really tricky because Talon puts on a good show. There's a lot of lights. And so it was a really good time. Got to meet some new people. And it was exhausting. I'm a little tired, but it was good. It was a very good show. It was kind of, they call it the Hope Show. And it was, it really targets like the difficulties of depression and suicidal ideation. So it was like, it was kind of a PG-13 show. It was intense. But yeah, it's an awesome ministry and looking forward to seeing if I could work with them in the future. But honestly, that was pretty much all weekend. It was Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and I may as well have slept at Calvary Baptist. I mean, I was there a lot.
Yeah.
So it was good. I'm tired, but it was a really fulfilling weekend. So
very good. Well, very good thankful to have you back with us here this morning. And you did do a little radio on Saturday too, right?
So a little bit. That was an early morning.
Yeah, sure. I had a fun way to cap off the weekend yesterday in terms of a picnic with friends. So that was fun. We had kind of a Sunday night group gets together. One guy was under the weather, so he wasn't with us, but just getting together, everybody brings something and shared in that outdoors at McDonough Park in Eau Claire. The rest of the weekend had a little bit of work to tend to, but otherwise, you know, kind of my standard getting in those dog walks. Usually do one per day after work, but two on the weekends. And so enjoying that. We were doing a little extra dog sitting. So sometimes, Sam, you'd see me with 3 dogs.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes, walking 3 dogs. So I've limited to that. There is a 4th dog, but I've kind of left that one behind.
I've heard that's a challenge because you've got to keep 3 leashes.
I've got like a dual leash for 2 of them. Kind of a chain leash for the other. But yeah, it can be. I mean, especially when you've got people biking on the sidewalk sometimes, all of a sudden coming upon them. My Aussie Shepherd doesn't really like bikers.
Sure.
Doesn't like bikes, kind of scare her.
Okay.
So anyhow, there we go. Our weekend recap on WWIB. All right, the WIB Wake Up Show on WWIB on a Make Us Laugh Monday. We call this 3 jokes apiece. I'll start things off, as per usual. Sam in for Caleb. And Caleb, the hardest working man in radio, much deserved vacation. Worked so hard last week and everything. And we'll welcome him back with open arms on Wednesday. So here we go. Sam, I never make the same mistake twice. No, you know, I make it 5 or 6 times just to be sure.
All right, that's good. See, I thought for a second that maybe the joke was that you never make the same mistake twice.
So okay.
Glad I waited.
All right.
My first one here. My question for you, Mark, is what has 5 toes but isn't your foot?
I don't know.
my foot.
Okay. That, yeah, thank you, Sam.
Maybe more of a, I'm a sucker for the dad jokes, maybe. Yeah, you know,
yeah,
I mean?
You know, hopefully you didn't stay up too late thinking of that one. All right, here we go, another one. Wife, I think you need a hearing test. Husband, why do I need a hairy chest? Yeah, not hearing so well there.
Yeah, maybe not, maybe not.
Okay.
Oh, let's see, number two for me, I've got, so I had this funeral, actually, for boiling water. The eulogy was really short. I just said, you will be missed.
Okay, gotcha. All right, Sam. Yeah, all right,
okay,
Sam.
I'm bringing it this morning. Yeah. Doing my best here.
All right, well, recently I talked about an alligator going to a therapist. So today, lying down on the therapist's couch, the elephant said, sometimes, even if I'm standing in the middle of the room, no one acknowledges me. The elephant in the middle of the room.
I actually really appreciate that.
Thank you.
That's some quality comedy right there.
Yes. You like my elephant impression?
Oh yeah. It was very good. So let's see here. My last one here is actually a saying. This is a bit of a profound saying. Time flies like an arrow, they say.
Mm-hmm.
Fruit flies like a banana.
Yeah, they do. All right. I liked it. Good job.
All right. Awesome.
Good jokes
very
today.
Good.
Thanks.
Very good.
All right. We're not trying to rush to fall or anything, but pumpkin spice, Sam, is already on the menu.
That's right. As summer sizzles on here, maybe not so much in the past couple of days or so. We've had some nice weather, but
right.
Pumpkin spice has already made a comeback in the flavor game.
Yeah, spot on. A leading restaurant technology provider reports a whopping 1,000 new pumpkin items hitting menus nationwide in just the past month.
It's a lot of flexibility with just one vegetable, squash. I'm not sure what that one. Starbucks, a pioneer in the pumpkin craze, is set to launch its pumpkin spice latte on August 22nd.
Yeah, 10 days away.
Yeah, that's not too far away.
Starbucks began developing the PSL in January of 2003.
The development was led by Peter Dukes, the company's director of Espresso Americas, who was inspired by the success of other seasonal drinks like peppermint mocha and eggnog latte. So yeah, that sounds good.
The team experimented with various combos of pumpkin and spices, ultimately deciding on a recipe that initially didn't contain any actual pumpkin.
That's not good. Yeah. You gotta get pumpkin in there. The final product was tested in Vancouver and Washington, D.C., where it exceeded sales expectations, prompting a nationwide rollout in fall 2004.
20 years ago, yeah, the pumpkin spice latte quickly became Starbucks' most popular seasonal beverage.
By 2015, more than 200 million PSLs, or pumpkin spice lattes, had been sold.
And in response to consumer demand for more natural ingredients, Starbucks updated the PSL recipe in August of 2015 to include real pumpkin puree and to remove artificial colors, but it took 11 years.
I was going to say, that's quite a long span of time where no actual pumpkin... So no actual pumpkins were harmed in this coffee.
You know, I'm sure the view was, hey, don't mess with success. People are buying it, but then
I suppose
eventually some real pumpkin.
Literally buying it. That's right.
Mm-hmm.
I've never been a
I'm not huge on it.
Spice guy.
I'm not huge. Here's the fall question. Is it pumpkin or apple, the flavor of fall?
Ooh,
and I think I kind of opt for apple.
I would say the same. Yeah. You've got your hot apple cider. Yeah. You've got, know, there's a lot you can go with there, I feel like.
Again, don't mess with the PSL people.
That's right. I can take a slice of pumpkin pie or some vanilla ice cream. You know,
Sam,
that's okay.
Now you're talking.
That's right. All right. Well, there you go. Pumpkin spice already on the menu as we slowly but surely head towards fall. Mm-hmm. Delicately.
Yes.
You know, but carefully, you know, it is still August. We still got some summer left. But
keep enjoying the summer.
That's right.
Well, the Olympics is behind us, and the U.S. fared pretty well, Sam, finishing the games with an impressive 126 medals, 40 gold, 44 silver, and 42 bronze. So what's next as far as Olympics activity?
I guess we're looking, to Olympics in... 2026 for Italy here. The Winter Olympics going to be held from February 6th to the 22nd in Italy.
Yeah, you know, for a bunch of years, it was always they had the Winter and the Summer Games in the same year. And several years back, they changed that. So it's a little staggered now with the Winter, in a couple of years and then the Summer in 2028. The main host cities for those Winter Games, Milan and Cortina Dempezo, marking the first time the Winter Games will be hosted by multiple cities.
This event will also commemorate the 20th anniversary of the Winter Olympics in Turin and the 70th anniversary of the Winter Olympics in Cortina d'Ampezzo.
I'm glad you got to say it as well. The 2026 Winter Olympics will feature 116 events across 16 sports.
And notably, ski mountaineering will make its Olympic debut with events including men's and women's sprints and a mixed relay.
Other sports in those Winter Games in Italy in 2026 going to include alpine skiing, biathlon, bobsleigh, not bobsled, but bobsleigh, cross-country skiing, curling, figure skating, freestyle skiing, ice hockey, luge, Nordic combined, short track speed skating, skeleton, I don't know what that is.
Wow.
Ski jumping, snowboarding, and speed skating.
That's a lot of snow sports.
Do they have like a brainstorm session that go, what could we have? Oh, how about that?
What new winter sport can we invent by giving it a new name, maybe?
I mean, they had breaking in these games, you know.
Right. Yeah. This will be the fourth time Italy hosts the Olympic Games following the 1956 Winter Olympics in Cortina d'Ampezzo. There it is again. And the 1960 Summer Olympics in Rome. And the 2006 Winter Olympics in Turin.
Yeah. The motto is going to be Dreaming Together. And then the Summer Games in 2028 coming to Los Angeles, July 14th to the 30th. Again, it's about 4 years away.
And this will be the third time Los Angeles hosts the Olympics, having previously done so in 1932 and 1984, making it the first non-European city to host the Games three times.
Over 80 existing venues will be used with no permanent structures being built.
And then looking ahead here, again, 2028 Olympics will feature new sports such as flag football and squash.
Uh-huh.
We were just talking about pumpkin spice. I wonder, you know.
Yeah, there you go.
Alongside returning sports like baseball, softball, lacrosse, and cricket, which have been absent for several years, I suppose.
There we go. So we're done with the Olympics until the Winter Olympics in Italy in 2026.
You know, I've never actually seen much of the Olympics, Mark.
Uh-huh.
A couple years ago, we somehow were able to get cable on our, like, box TV that we had, right? So me and my family never did a lot of TV, per se. Uh-huh. We'd watch movies and stuff, but so we got the Olympics, but the only thing that was on was, like, was bobsledding.
Okay.
So, like, it was entertaining for a little bit, but... You know what I mean? So, like, you want to watch the Olympics for maybe something a little more exciting. Like, I don't know, pole vaulting or swimming or track or something. And watching the same cuts of a bobsled just, you know. So, it was interesting.
Yeah, those would be the Winter Games. And all the things you just said were Summer Games. Yeah, right.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I guess that's my experience with the Olympics, I suppose. Uh-huh. But.